All right, we're going to continue tonight on our lesson on how to stop the devil from interfering in your life. And I got to preparing this, and it got to be so much information that I decided to divide up the authority that we have into two parts. Tonight, I'd like to talk about knowing the history of spiritual authority, how it came into the earth, how it got transferred. We've talked about a little bit of it, but I think tonight, when we get done, we'll have more knowledge. Another title for tonight might be how we got our authority. And then next week, maybe we'll talk about how to use our authority. So let's get into this lesson a little bit. First of all, let's take a look at spiritual authority under the Old Covenant. Then we'll look at spiritual authority under the New Covenant. It helped me a lot to go through this and see how this thing has bounced around over the years, this power and authority business. First of all, I'd just like to say that in the Greek, power, there's a Greek word, dunamis. That means power. Okay, when you see, when the Greek word is used for power, it's dunamis. And that's where we get our word for dynamite. So, you know, dynamite's got power. Well, that's a good way to remember. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. And it means the ability or strength to perform a deed. It's the strength to do it, the ability to do it. Now, authority has another word, and it's a Greek word called exousia. And it's definition, authority is delegated power. For example, if someone has power, like President Bush, he has some power as being President of the United States, he can give authority to some underling to do some work for him, can he not? He can delegate some, maybe some job that he could do, but to someone else to do. He can give them the authority. And in this land, we have legislature. Our country's legislature, the House of Representatives and the Senate, come up with laws. They have the power to create laws. And once a law is created, then the police and the courts have the authority to enforce that law. They have the delegated power to enforce, or delegated power, which is authority, to enforce the laws. And so the Bible isn't always clear in the English translation of these two. You've got to look to the Greek words. And so tonight, there may be a couple of times where the Bible says power, where it's the Greek word exousia, which really means authority. They're closely related, but there is a difference. Okay, that's number one. So, now, in the beginning, who do you think had all authority and power in heaven and earth? In the beginning, yes, God had all authority and power. Then God created man. Man hasn't been here forever, has he? It's only in the last, I don't know how many thousand years that man's been around. So, in the beginning, God had all authority and power. Then God created man. And he created his man, what is his name? Adam. All right. And what did he tell Adam? He says, Adam, I give you what? Authority. Dominion. And it's translated different ways in different Bibles. He gave Adam authority or dominion over this earth. Not heaven, not the outer space, this earth. Okay? Now that was God's choice. God didn't have to do that, but he chose to do it. Now, if God's got power and all the power and all the authority, does he have a right to do that? Yes, he does. Just like the president has a right to appoint somebody to do something if he wants to. God decided he was going to create Adam, and then he was going to give him authority over this place that we call Earth. He says, I give you all dominion, all authority. Go name the animals. Take dominion. Subdue the earth, he said. All right, so all those things. So he had the authority. The only thing God said was, only one thing I ask you, Adam, is don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only thing, wasn't it? You got all authority on this earth. Okay, so now we've got a situation where God had all authority and all power, but he's taken this one little world called Earth, and he's set a man here, and he's saying, I'm giving you authority on this little planet here called Earth. To us, it's the biggest, the whole world. But we know more now that it's just a part of the universe. Okay. And so now God gave Adam authority on the Earth. So you might say that Adam was the little g god of this world. Really, he was, because he had the authority here. All right, then Adam sinned, didn't he? And he died spiritually, because God said, don't eat that tree. He says, because in the day you eat that tree, you know, he said, you will, what did he say? Surely die. And he didn't die physically that day, did he? So he died another way, which we now know now, he died spiritually. All right. Okay, when Adam sinned and died spiritually, he forfeited. And listen to Satan. That's the thing. He listened to Satan. See, he listened to God, and God gave him authority. Then he listened to what Satan had to say. And when he took Satan's advice in this earth and not God's, he had a free will to do this because he had authority here. Do you notice God didn't put up his hand and say, stop, wait a minute. I said, don't eat of that tree. Don't do it. You're going to regret it. This whole plan of mine is going to be set back for thousands of years. Adam, don't do it. He didn't do that, did he? It was just let him do it. Because why? He gave him authority here. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, if God was tempted just to butt in at that point. But God is God. And when God says something, I give you all authority, he means it. And so he let Adam turn his whole thing over to Satan. Okay, when he did that, he transferred his allegiance and his authority over to Satan. Now, how do we know that? Now, I'm just giving you a little background now, because if we look up, we're going to look up some scriptures in a minute. But we know these things. I'm just kind of summarizing some of these things for you. We know that Adam transferred his allegiance and authority to Satan. In Acts 26:18, it says this. And I've got it written down here, so I'll just read it to you. Remember when Paul was going to Damascus, and he had the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus spoke to him. And in his testimony of what Jesus said, he's speaking of this, not reading it like I am, and he's telling people what happened. And he said, Jesus said to me, I send you now to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, now listen, and from the authority of Satan unto God. In other words, he appointed Paul, was Saul at that time, with the ministry to go to people and tell them about Jesus so they could get transferred from the authority of Satan. See, Satan had authority now. All right, I'm just pointing out that the authority that Adam had got transferred to Satan when Adam disobeyed God and listened to what Satan had to say. And Paul echoes that. He says, yeah. He says, but I'm going to go. I was sent by Jesus to go to the Gentiles and tell them things that would turn them from the authority of Satan to God. So Satan had authority. Also, we know that in Luke 4:6, that when the devil was tempting Jesus, he tempted him three ways, didn't he? And one of the ways he tempted him was, he took him up to a high mountain and said, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. And then Satan's getting a little desperate, because he's got authority here. He's got some authority here. But he sees this one that's come along, that's been prophesied all through the Old Testament, that's going to smash his head, but yet Satan would bruise his heel. Do you remember that back from the old, in Genesis? So Satan has been on the watch for a long time for someone. And Satan knows something about scriptures too. He knew that the scripture said that in Bethlehem shall one be born. So he was watching Bethlehem. And all of a sudden he saw an unusual birth there, didn't he? And he saw all the angels singing and all this. So Satan is really mad now. So he's searching for Jesus to kill him. Well, he does this through people. And so he got Herod all stirred up to the point where Herod got jealous that a king was going to be born. And he had all the little babies, 2 years old and under, killed. Horrible thought. I mean, you talk about the sniper being a bad guy. This Herod had nothing on him. I mean, or he had nothing on Herod. Herod had all the little kids. Maybe I should be careful here. But you understand what happened there. That was a horrible thing. And so, who was behind this, though?
Yeah, just
the boy kids. But, you know, Satan wants this stopped. Well, all through Jesus' life, he was trying to stop him. He stirred up the Pharisees. He stirred up the Sadducees. He stirred up everybody. Finally, that wasn't working. So finally, he just got real with Jesus, and he said, look, tell you what I'll do. he wasn't having any luck any other way. So tell you what I'll do. If you'll fall down and worship me, hold it, just listen to me for a second, I will give you all the authority, all the power that you see in these kingdoms. You'll rule over them. You like that? Well, and Satan made an interesting statement. He said, for all this authority will I give thee, for it is delivered unto me, and whomever I will, I can give it. How did it get delivered to him? God delivered him in the Garden of Eden by Adam. That's right. Helen's right. Now, you say, well, Satan's a liar. How do we know he's telling the truth? Well, that's true. He is a liar. But we know two things. We know, first of all, that the Bible calls this a temptation. Now, it's not a temptation if it's hardwired and it can't go any other way, is it? It's only a temptation if you've got a choice, a real, true choice. And number two, Jesus never challenged his authority to do this. He never said, Satan, you can't do that. You don't have that authority. He never challenged that. What he did do is use his authority to say, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, God and him only shall you serve and worship. Okay, so Satan has now some authority in the earth because it was given to him by Adam. All right, so here's where we are. Now, Satan had some legal authority here in the earth over all people that sinned, and so a curse fell upon everyone on the earth. All right, now that's kind of some background. Now, what was this curse that fell on the earth? Anybody know? Well, Deuteronomy 28, chapter verses 15 to the end of the chapter, tell us what all these curses were. And basically, it involves three different things. Curse of poverty, the curse of sickness, and the curse of spiritual death. That was the main ingredients of this curse. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death came on the earth because of the authority that was transferred from Adam to Satan. So Satan had some authority. Now, let's look up some scriptures that prove this. First of all, let's turn to Acts chapter 10. That was this sort of background. And look at verse 38. And let's start the other way tonight. We pretty much take the same seats every week, so that way everybody will get a chance to read. We won't start the same way every week. Acts 10, 38. Madge, would you like to read the 38th verse of Acts chapter 10? We've quoted this several times, but let's read it here. Sometimes I think it's better we read these things than just quote them all the time. Verse 38.
Now, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good things and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God is with
him. Thank you. Now, you see, there's a lot of things in there, but did you hear what man says about under the power of the devil? And he healed those. Jesus went about healing those that were under that power. So we see that Satan, one of the pieces of authority he was exercising on the earth, was to put sickness upon people. Do you see that? Sickness comes from Satan, directly or indirectly. And so God didn't like that, the way things were going. And so when Jesus came to earth, after all these thousands of years of Satan pretty much having things his own way, Jesus came to earth and God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus then went about doing good. Did you know healing is good? Calls that good, and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Now, here's an interesting thought. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, didn't Jesus already have power? Wasn't Jesus God? What's going on here? Has anybody got an answer for that? Yes. Philippians 2:9 tells us that he gave up his kingly privileges and power when he came here. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go on with this. Why did he do that? Why didn't God just send Jesus down here with all his godly power, and he's come in here and clean house? Why spend 33 years ministering? Why not just come down here, dump on the devil, get him out of here, and go on, and let's get on with the program?
Confusion
How's he going to teach anyone anything? Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
So he can be like me.
Why did he need... Why do you think that was necessary? Uh-huh. In other words, no fair, no fair. And why wouldn't it have been fair?
Because he would have had the power to make it. He wouldn't have had to go through the things growing up.
See, didn't he have a legal right to this, Satan? I mean, he had a legal right because Adam transferred it to him. Now, God is scrupulously honest, and he won't violate his own word. And when God says, I've given this to you, Adam, he means it. If Adam wants to turn it over to someone else and give it away, if you give someone $50, you may say, I gave you $50 for groceries. I can see you need it. God said, give it to you. And they go out, and they go to a casino, and they gamble it away. You might not think that's the best idea, and you'd be right about that. But do you have a real right to go in there and say, I want that money back? You said you wanted it for groceries, and I gave it. No, once you give it, it's gone, isn't it? And it's theirs. Couldn't say it any better. It's theirs. And see, this planet was Adam's, and he gave it away, and he had a right to do it. And so God's got to look for a legal way to get back into the earth, just like Martha said and like Tim said. A legal way. Now, what's the legal entry into the earth? What's the legal way to get here? Be born here, right? To be born of someone already here. See, God had it all figured out. It's neat, isn't it? He couldn't just send Jesus down here with all his kingly power and just take over and start knocking heads together. But what did he do? He had him born here of a virgin. So he is called this mysterious title in the Bible, the Son of Man. But he's also still the Son of God. He's both. He's the Son of God and the Son of God. Son of God and the Son of Man. The Son of Man because he was born of man. He has a legal entry into the earth now. Being born here is the only legal way of getting here. And God had to do this legally. And he did. And so Jesus was born of a virgin, of a person on this earth, of Mary, of Nazareth. All right? So he did that legally. He was legally here. He had a legal entry, and he had a legal ministry. Now, how did he minister? He didn't minister as the Son of God, did he? Like Tim's pointed out, he gave up those things. Jesus told us a few times in the New Testament that he was here as a prophet. There's scripture references. We're not going to look at those tonight because we don't have time. But he ministered as a prophet under the Old Covenant. That's a legal way. That's a legal way to minister on this earth because people have already done that. Now we go back to Acts 10:38 that Matthew read, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's why God had to do this. He anointed Jesus of Christ with the Holy Ghost to minister on this earth. Just like he did the Old Testament prophets who were anointed with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would come off then, come upon them to work miracles and things like Elijah and Elisha and some of the prophets, and even John the Baptist did. So that's why it was necessary for the Holy Ghost, for God, to anoint Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. So Jesus could go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. You know, to me, as I begin to research this week and put this together and begin to get a little more revelation in some of these areas than I'd had before, I had so much on authority that I thought I've got to divide this up into the kind of the history or how we got our authority and then what that authority gives us. So next week we'll get into how to exercise that authority. So we see here now that Satan had a legal but not a moral authority in the earth over all the people of sin, and a curse fell upon everyone. And that curse, we just found out from what Madge read, was one of the curses was sickness, was it not? Because Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So that was one of the things. Luke 13:16 says about the woman that was bent over, lo, these 18 years, whom Satan has bound. That's what Luke 13:16 says. I'm not looking that one up because we know it's there. I mean, I want to finish this lesson tonight because if we look everything up, I'll never get finished. But I think we're all familiar with that, where it says, whom Satan has bound these 18 years. Would you like to look that one up? since maybe some of you would. Would you like to do that? Okay, go on. All right. Okay, so we see from two witnesses here in Acts 10:38 and Luke 13:16 that Satan is the one behind sickness. All right? What about death? Well, we know that John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? But the thieves come to steal, kill, and destroy. So destroy, kill, that's death, isn't it? Also look at Luke 12:5. And now, I think it's interesting to see another example of how Satan went about using this limited authority he had to put death on people and what this really means. Luke 12:5. All right, and Karen, would you like to, let's see here.
But I will show you
who you
shall fear, should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to betray you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear.
All right, now who's he talking about here? When I was, I always thought before I became a Christian, and even after I was a Christian, well, I thought it was talking about God here. But it can't be, can it? It has to be the devil, because he says, fear him which after he has killed. Well, God doesn't go around killing people. Who does? We just read it, didn't we? Satan steals, kills, and destroys. But what's the next thing? It says he has the power to cast into hell. Now, up to now, Satan had the power over death. All right? Satan had the power to cast into hell. Up into the new covenant. We're still in the old covenant. Okay? Now, Satan could just, as soon as people reached the age of reason, as soon as they sinned, spiritual death came upon that person, and Satan had a right to throw them into hell. Now, we know later on that Jesus came later and preached to those that were in hell. That's not tonight's subject. But we see here, what I'm trying to show you here, is Satan, his limited authority on the earth was to put sickness on people. We read that. And now to put people into hell and bring spiritual death on them. All right? He had the power to cast into hell. And so Hebrews 2:14 says this, Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. And then in case you're wondering who he's talking about, he says, that is the devil. So Satan had the power of death. That's clear to everyone, I think. All right. So sickness, death, these things are where Satan had some authority. In the curse. That was what was in the curse. Then Jesus came legally to earth and lived without what? He never sinned, did he? Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without what? Without sin. He was tempted in every point. Every way that you've been tempted, Jesus was tempted. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. The difference? He withstood those temptations as Son of Man, also Son of God, but as a Son of Man without sin. What if Jesus would have sinned? Oh, boy.
Well, when you said earlier about Satan trying to destroy himself, all he needed to do was give him sin. And then it was all...
Right. That's why he was tempting him, wasn't he? He says, well, if I can't kill this guy, maybe I can get him to sin. And if he sins, he comes under my authority now. I have some authority over him. But see, Jesus never sinned. He had a legal entry here. If Jesus would have sinned, it's getting a little ahead of myself here, because when he went to hell, he would be suffering for whose sin? His own. And no substitutionary effect would have been legal. Isn't that a scary thought? And see, and as Christians, we don't have that sin nature anymore. Now, that a lot of people think we do. We don't. You can prove that from the Word of God. All things have become new in our spirits. Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly what Norm is saying. See how God's plan was? He had all these this maze that God's walking through here perfectly. He sends Jesus living here, but, you know, it's a little dicey because Jesus was tempted every way like we were. He was born of woman. He had a legal entry. And boy, thank God he didn't sin, right? So, and also it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, just to confirm he never sinned. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Yes. He was tempted, wasn't he? It would not have been a temptation, folks, if he couldn't have sinned. It's not a temptation. Right. If it was hardwired, it wouldn't work. See, the God couldn't hardwire this. If he could, he'd just send Jesus in here, knock a few heads together, and get on with the program, and we'd all go to heaven. Right? But he had to do it legally. And so I just thought, as I got into this, I'm not going to have time to go into everything. Let's just cover the history of this tonight, because I don't think you hear this taught or preached very much. And it's something that we need to understand as Christians, how this whole thing came about that makes us who we are, how we got here. Okay, so Jesus was able to come to the earth and legally come here and live without sin. And because of those two things, Satan had nothing on him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 14:30, says, Satan's come, but he has nothing on me, or no hold on me, the NIV says. No hold. Now, if he'd have sinned, then Satan would have had a hold on him. Or if he hadn't come here legally, he couldn't do some of the things he wanted to do. But he said to his disciples, he has nothing on me. He has no hold upon me. All right. So now we have Jesus here, and we have Satan here together on the earth. All right? Both Jesus and Satan have now some spheres of authority on the earth. We've got competition. All right? That's why Satan tempted Jesus, was to transfer his allegiance and authority over to him, or to get him to sin. But Jesus, unlike Adam, refused to take the bait. He never did he? In fact, he told Satan at the end of these temptations, get thee behind me, Satan, or get thee hence, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. And Satan had to leave. That's what we're supposed to do, too, by the way. All right. Then Jesus was put to death and cast into hell. Did you know that? We all understand Jesus went to hell. I was teaching this one time, and I had a few people after class come up to me at Sunday school and say, I never knew he went to hell. You didn't? Yeah, he did. Do you ever remember the Apostles' Creed when you were a kid? In your church, did you ever say that? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son and Lord. He was crucified, died, and was buried, and went to hell. That was used to call the Apostles' Creed, or the Creed. Went to hell.
I guess I didn't, because I didn't know that Jesus had went to hell.
Yeah.
I was right up on my 9 feet when I first heard that. I thought, holy
okay. Well, Acts tells us that.
Yes, upset, yes.
We could go and look up scripture. I can show you scriptures on that, but if there's anyone that would like to see that, but we all agree that he did go to hell now?
Yeah.
He did go there. And he went there for us. You just so? That's right. That's right. See, now that's the key. If he'd have gone there, if he'd have sinned one time on this earth, as we covered earlier, say it again, Satan could have legally put Jesus in hell, couldn't he? Because as soon as he sins, he falls under Satan's authority. But see, the thing was, Satan forgot that rule. He took him to hell anyway. And Jesus spent 3 days and three nights there doing something. Well, first, he paid the price for our sin, not his own sin, because he never sinned. Wasn't that neat? What a plan God had.
Not very many people would do that, would they?
No, they wouldn't. But see, if he'd ever sinned, he couldn't have done that for us. Because Satan had said, no, God, foul, not fair. He sinned. Remember that one time? He's here for that. This cannot be a substitutionary sacrifice or paying for their price for their sins, because he is here for what he did wrong himself. And God would have had to go. That's right. But see? He never sinned. And so God had the privilege of saying, there's the son of my son down there in hell. He's suffering, not for his own sin, but for the sins of the whole world. And then because he was illegally in hell, should never have been there, God had the right to say, it's enough, when that sin was taken care of. Because he had an infinite sacrifice for a finite amount of sin. Okay? And God could decide when that sacrifice was satisfied. And after 3 days and nights, he said, it's enough. Then what happened? What Madge said. He came out, but before he came out, what did he do? He cleaned house down in hell. Turn to Colossians 2:15. Let's see, whose turn is it to read? Is it Sue's turn, or is it... did you read, Norm? You did read, Karen. Okay. Sue? Colossians 2:15. Talking about Jesus here now. Go ahead.
And having disarmed the power and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Okay. Now, it's talking about Jesus. If you go up and read the previous verses, you'd see that it's talking about Jesus. It's because it says, nailing it to his cross. So we're talking about Jesus. And then it says, and having spoiled. Now, what does spoiled mean? That's a funny word here, isn't it? It's kind of an Old Testament. It's kind of an old word.
Foiled.
That's a good, yeah. Spoiled or foiled.
Ruined.
Ruined's good. Have we ever read some spoils recently somewhere else in one of our lessons, didn't we? Do you remember when that was? Do you remember when Jehoshaphat got there and fought all the people dead on the ground? What did he do? He picked up the what?
Spoils.
The spoils, it says. It calls it spoils. See, in the old days, when the kings would go somewhere and have a battle, they'd pick everything up and take it back with them that was left over. Those were called the spoils of war. We still have those today. We don't maybe use that term as much. But when he spoiled principalities and powers, he foiled them, he ruined them, and he took back something. There was something there, some spoils, that he took. Now, Tim named that here a couple of minutes ago. He took some keys, didn't he, Tim? What are keys symbol of? They open a lock. They're a symbol of authority. And he took the keys from Satan to two things. Anybody know what they are? You remember you said it a minute ago. Death and hell. Satan had those keys. Remember we just read that. Satan had the authority to cast into hell. We read that in Luke 12:5. And he had the authority to bring death upon people. Spiritual death when they sinned, okay? And put. Okay, so Jesus then, when he rose from the dead, took the keys of death and hell. Now how do we know that? Revelations 1:18 tells us that. If you want to just mark that, I think it's in your notes. Revelations 1:18 says, now let's go on with this verse. It says, Jesus spoiled or took away something out of there. We know what that is now. The keys to death and hell, principalities and powers. We know we're not talking about people here because principalities and powers are used in Ephesians 6:12 as talking about what? Do you remember? Yeah, what? Demons and evil spirits, right? Because it says in Ephesians 6:12, it says that that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. So we're not talking flesh and blood here, are we? We don't war against flesh and blood, but against something in the spiritual kingdom called principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Okay? So Jesus spoiled principalities and powers, spirit beings. He took something from spirit beings and made a show of them. Show, another word for show would be public spectacle of them. And then what's the next word? Openly. Where someone can see. Now, could anybody on this earth see this? Why? Why couldn't they see it? Because it was spiritual. That's exactly right. It was happening to spiritual beings. But yet it was called openly. What do you suppose that means? It means anybody that was there could see it. Anybody who was there knows it. Those demon spirits in hell were made a public spectacle by Jesus when he rose from the dead and took the keys of hell and death and defeated Satan in his own kingdom. That's what that means there. And then he rose triumphantly. Says triumphing over them in it, rose triumphantly out of hell to, and he came back and passed by earth on his way to heaven. You remember that? And his disciples, Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb, didn't she? And she went in and he wasn't there. And she went to the gardener, she thought it was Jesus standing there, and she says, "They've taken my master, ascended to my father and your father." Jesus just passed by to let them know he'd risen from the dead. But why didn't they want him to touch him? Hebrews tells us. Because he was doing something with it. Do you know what that was? Right? And the Bible tells us that he was taking his own blood into the heavenly Holy of Holies. Now, when you go into the Holy of Holies, what was the Old Testament thing? The priest went in how many times a year? Once a year. And only the high priest. So Jesus, what does the New Testament tell us about Jesus? Whose high priest is he? He's our high priest, isn't he? Making intercession for the saints day and night, isn't he? So he was carrying, as a high priest for us, his own blood, Hebrews tells us, into the heavenly Holy of Holies. See, the old Holy of Holies was a type of shadow of that which was to come, which was the heavenly Holy of Holies, which Jesus was going to carry his own blood. Now, Hebrews tells us that, okay? And so he told Mary, "Don't touch me." Then later that same day, he appeared unto the disciples in the where they were gathered together, and they said, "It's a ghost." And he says, "No, a ghost hasn't flesh and blood as you see me have, or flesh and bone as you see me have. Touch me." And they handled him, it says. So something happened between the fact Mary not being able to touch him and the disciples being able to touch him the same day. And that was, he went to the heavenly Holy of Holies. He had something he had to do. And so, you know, it's just so interesting how God planned this whole thing out, I think. Okay, now, spiritual authority under the new covenant. All right, so now we have the old covenant. And when did the old covenant end? Right, when he was raised from the dead. Right. All right, when he died on the cross, the old covenant ended. Right, that temple was split. That temple veil was split from top to bottom. So that was the end of the old covenant. All right, now we have a new covenant. And you and I live in that covenant, don't we? All right, then through his shed blood, death, and resurrection, Jesus defeated Satan, we just read that, once and for all. And in this exaltation, he obtained all authority, both in heaven and earth. Well, how do we know that? Turn to Matthew chapter 28. See, this is a history of authority in the earth, isn't it? Now, first Adam had it, then he transferred it to Satan, then Satan had it for thousands of years, and then Jesus came, and they both had some authority in different areas. Satan to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus to bring life, preach, teach, and go to the cross for us, all right? All right, so there was a kind of a competition there for 33 years on authorities between Jesus and Satan. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. And in verse 18, who has that? Matt, do you have that? Just read verse 18.
Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go there and follow."
Okay, what did he say in verse 18? All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, up to this time, that might have been a little vague to us. What does Jesus mean, all authority has been given unto me? I thought he had it all. No, he didn't, see? Satan had some of it. But when he went to hell and took the keys to the two areas of authority God didn't have and Jesus didn't have from Satan, and those keys were the keys of death and hell. The authority to cast into hell and the authority to bring physical and spiritual death and sickness upon people. Jesus took those keys away from Satan. So now Jesus can say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. See, he already had power in heaven, didn't he? He gave it up when he came to earth. But now he not only has that power back, he also has all authority in the earth. Now the Greek word here is exousia, which means authority. So Jesus is saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now we're going to get into this next part next week more, but then he says an interesting statement, verse 19. Matt, go on and read verse 19 now.
"Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit."
Okay, thank you. What second word is there, Matt. You read. Therefore. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus would say, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, good for you, Jesus. Congratulations. Glad you got it back. Go ye therefore. Wait a minute, does that follow? Why does that follow? Oh, because he gave it to us. See, that's exactly right. It'd be just like, let's say, Marianne, maybe one of her parents dies or something like that, and she inherits $1 million. That never happened. Nobody had that, but let's say she did. All right? And let's say we need a new car. Marianne comes to me and she says, Mike, look here. I've just been notified of a lawyer that I've inherited $1 million. Go ye therefore and buy a new car. Now, you wouldn't think that was strange, would you? You might think it's strange she gets $1 million, but it wouldn't be strange if she would tell me to go buy a new car if we needed one, would it? Why? Because in our marriage, that's her money, but she has authority to delegate it to anyone else. See, we'd understand that, wouldn't we? We'd understand that if she says, go buy a new car, that she's giving me the authority to do it. That's just what Jesus did here. He's saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore. Because he gave it to us. Now, I can prove that in Mark 16:17. Let's just turn there real quick. All authority. Let's see. Amanda, would you like? No. Okay. Norma, would you like to read verse 17?
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons.
You may as well go on and finish
it. They take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
All right. Now, we know that Paul did that. We know that Peter did that. We know that several of the apostles did that. Now, is the criteria for doing this kind of thing to be an apostle? That's what a lot of people think. But what does it say? What does the Bible say? Who qualifies? What does it say here exactly? Them that believe. Well, who are the believers?
We are.
And how did you get to be a believer? Accepted Jesus as your Savior and were born again, right? So, is this talking about us?
Yes.
It's talking about us. Isn't that what Jesus said now? All authority and power has been given unto me. Go you therefore. He that believeth on me in my name, he shall cast out devils. How to stop the devil from interfering in your life? That's one way. In his name, do it. Now, did he say he's going to do it?
No.
He said, in my name, you do it. Is that a revelation to some of the body of Christ, or is it not? I know, I taught a little of this at New Hope when I was there, and I had some people come up to me and said, you know, I never knew that. I've been praying for years for God to bind the devil for me. And nothing happened. No wonder. Because God gave them the authority to do it all this time. All right? Isn't this interesting? There's not only that, there's other things here too. We don't need to get it. One of them is speak with new tongues. Believers have a right to speak with new tongues. Okay? To receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every believer has a perfect right to do that. They don't have to do it, but they have a right to do it. They have a right to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they want to. I've exercised that right. A few others have. Some people don't know about it. You know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know, you can't act on, see? But there's a lot of things in here that God's purchased for us, okay? So this authority was given to us in the new birth. Now, here's something I want to cover, not tonight, but later. This is so important. The reason Jesus said this, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore, is because Jesus understood something that took a while for the church to get through their heads, and some of them still haven't got it through their heads. And that is, there is something in this earth called the body of Christ. And there is something in heaven called the head of the body. Who is head of the body?
Jesus.
Jesus. Who is the body? Can the head do anything on the earth without the body?
No.
Can your head do anything without the body?
No.
Can your head, say, walk across the room without the body cooperating?
No.
Will you ever get across the room if your head just thinks about going across the room? Now, can your body do anything without the head? No, because unless the head, the body, gets some instruction from the head, your hand will never move. What do we call a person who can't move their body? Quadriplegic or paralyzed? Do you know part of the body of Christ acts like they're paralyzed? Because they're waiting on the head to walk across the room. And the head's never going to walk across the room. The body's going to walk across the room. The head's going to tell them to do it. That's why Jesus thought it was clear when he said, all authority and power has been given unto me. Go you therefore. Perfectly clear to Jesus what's going on. He's the head. We're the body. Anything's going to happen in the earth, the body's going to do it. How many times have you ever heard of Jesus going around knocking on doors and handing out tracts? He doesn't do it. But he tells the body to do things like that, doesn't he? He sends orders to the body. Do this. A lot of his orders are contained right here. Sometimes they come into our spirits and tell us what to do. But half the bodies, sometimes they're not doing what the head's telling them to do. Sometimes they're too busy. Sometimes they're too busy to hear what he's saying. But it's important to understand this whole concept of the body of Christ and how it works. Now do you see why Jesus doesn't cast out devils on the earth? He did while he was here, didn't he? But he's not here anymore. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. That's the head. He says, now you're the body. You do it. In fact, he said in John 14:12 something kind of amazing. Why don't we just turn here and we'll end with that tonight. Now we can understand this a little bit better. You can just read it off of her Bible.
Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. My greater works, and greater works than these, he will do, because I will.
Hold everything, folks. Listen, did you hear that? This has bamboozled the body of Christ for years because they never understood really what the body of Christ was. That's why it bamboozled them. They read this. I've had so many Christians read this and say, I just can't believe the body of Christ is going to do the works that Jesus did and greater works. What could he be talking about here? Well, he might just be talking about what he just said. And if you understand that the body, the head is in heaven and the body's on the earth, and that we have the mighty Holy Spirit that indwelt Jesus that enabled him to do these things on the earth. See, Jesus wasn't doing these things by his own power, was he? He was anointed by God with the power of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power who went about doing good. That's why he anointed Jesus, to show us an example how we're supposed to minister in the earth, okay? And he ministered under the old covenant. My goodness, wouldn't you think saints ministering under the new covenant ought to be able to do what Jesus did under the old covenant? Not to take anything away from Jesus, but hey, we got a new covenant here. We don't have the limitations that Jesus had to work under. Now, he's defeated the devil. And so Jesus is saying to us, hey, I'm going to heaven. But don't worry. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I won't leave you helpless. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live right inside of you. Now, I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be the head, and I'm going to oversee you down here on the earth, but you're going to do the things I want you to do because you're going to be the body. But you need to listen, and you have the authority to do it. Do we have the power to do it? How do we have the power to do it? Through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. What a beautiful picture. How well thought out this whole thing is. Now we can understand. He that believeth on me, that means he has to be a believer. Why? Because the believer does not have the Holy Spirit living in his spirit, does he? The unbeliever. He doesn't have it. So he doesn't have the authority. He doesn't have the power. We talked last week about seven guys who tried to exercise the authority without really having it over the devil, and they got beat up by the devil. But Jesus said, hey, if you believe on me, the works that I do shall you do also, should be doing, and greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now, That really blows people's minds. They can't even figure out how we're going to do the same works. But Jesus gave us the authority. He gave us the Holy Spirit for power. How can we do greater works? Well, we'll talk about that next week a little bit. There are some greater works.
One thing that's been blowing up in my spirit constantly to bring out, and right. Every time someone looks to Jesus to find the devil, or looks to Jesus to do what we should know we can do ourselves, it negates everything he did by going to heaven. It takes away his whole sacrifice of the entire plan. So you're just throwing it back in his face.
Yeah.
You know, you don't take these blessings that he wants you to have. You earn them. So we really should.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, he's paid the price for this stuff. How would you like to buy your kids a whole mess of stuff for their birthday, and they just kind of, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. It's really for me. I don't believe. You know, I'd rather go to heaven and have Jesus say to me, Mike, you tried to believe for a little too much, than why didn't you believe for the things I had for you? You know, we got half the body of Christ running around saying, no, I wouldn't want that. I don't want that. You know, that's not right. I don't want any money. Don't give me anything. Well, how's the kingdom of God going to work? How's the preachers going to go out if they don't have people putting money in their offerings and stuff? I mean, Satan has got this whole thing so messed up that even Christians are falling right into line with some of the junk that he's bringing. And Marianne's perfectly right when she says, he paid the price for this. I think it behooves Christians to go out and exercise their rights and their authority here so he didn't buy it in vain. Okay? So that's enough for tonight. But I just wanted to kind of cover this history of authority. Next week we'll get into a little bit more about the body of Christ, what these greater works are, and how we exercise that authority.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
All right, here we go. Number one, this was a definition that we had in the very beginner outline. Power is the delegation of authority. Is that the definition of power? Anybody want to? No. It's not the definition of power, is it? It's the reverse. Authority is a delegation of power. So that's false. Good, that's right. Zorp was exactly right. It was backwards. Number two. God gave Adam authority in the earth with only one thing that he was not to do. True or false? True. What was that one thing he wasn't supposed to do?
Tree.
Right. Only one thing, and that's where Satan tempts us, isn't it? The very thing that we're trying to not do, that's where he comes at us. Number three, Adam did what Satan said, and in so doing, turned his authority and allegiance over to him, meaning Satan. True or false? Okay. Good. Eve did. But yeah.
It doesn't say God actually went to Eve and told her.
That's true.
But the situation went to her. Yeah. She went to him.
So is it true or false? I'm confused now. I've got it marked true. But, you know, Eve was the actual the one that ate it. But didn't she gave it to Adam then, right? So he ate it too. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right?
When Eve ate of it, she didn't know the name. Adam was one. So
okay, good point. So that should be true then, right?
Isn't there a scripture that says that talking about Jesus, by one man is resurrected, by one man we lost it?
Mm-hmm. The first Adam, the second Adam. Yeah, that's right. True. Are you trying to blame Eve?
No.
Oh,
yes. She worked through.
Yeah. She was a... Well, since they're one flesh, we'll say Adam's.
So it's true and false.
Huh?
What if you went to like the earth and works that is through our weakness? Yes. Forgive me, women, for saying this, but the women are the weaker.
Aha.
And so Satan works at us through our weaknesses. He tempts us through the weakness.
Mm-hmm. And what man isn't going along with his wife, right? I mean, you know. Yes, honey. Yes, dear. Okay, Matt was first. What, Matt?
To go along with that, I read something on the radio, which was that even if Adam and Eve didn't sin, that somebody would have. got out of the way early.
But in this case, there was only one sin. You'd think they could have built a big fence around it, you know, just or something, or just... There was only one sin. This, we've got lots of different ones we got to watch, but God only gave them one.
The only thing was Adam and Eve lived in the garden. They were born.
Yeah.
So whatever comes after, the damage is done beforehand.
That's a good way of putting it. That's right. What happened?
Remember when God approached Adam about having disobeyed, Adam tried to alibi and say, yeah, it was that woman.
Yeah.
And God said, don't give me that. You're a child.
That's basically what he said, wasn't it? Yeah.
You think that it would have been different if Adam, I might say the punishment was different. He had to pay for what happened. But do you think it would have been different if he would have just said he was wrong right off the bat instead of putting it off on him?
I don't know. He doesn't have anybody to take that sin at that point like we do.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah. You mean God might have forgiven him and said, okay, you blew it, but...
Well, I don't mean the consequences.
Yeah.
But it might have been different.
I don't know. God's got his word out there, and he said, the day you eat of that tree, if you do, you surely die. And so he had his own word out there on what was going to happen in that case. So, and he did it, and that day they spiritually died. There was no bargaining after that.
Well, I think about it because there's a couple. I mean, I've also thought about Lucifer. Had he repented? Because God is merciful. Not to say that his punishment would have been him either, but God asked him. God asked questions. You know, why did you do this? And his pride took over.
His pride really took over.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah. Well, he wanted to be like God.
Yeah.
And that's pretty. That's treason. He was right in heaven trying to stir up the whole troops against God himself.
I mean, it's just something.
Yeah. Well, if you really want to wonder about something, where's Adam today? I don't want to get into that. I have no idea. That's
God said hell was reserved for the angels, not.
Yeah. See, God was making, you know, that's what his first plan was.
And the intercession was that Jesus was for human beings, not for the angelic forces.
True. But since he already had that place, and now he has people to deal with, and that he's got to put them somewhere. So, thank God, Jesus.
Way before we are okay.
Oh, yeah. Good thoughts on that, man. We've spent a lot of time on that one. I have a lot of good discussion there, and that's good. The whole world lay under a curse after Adam's sin. True or false?
True.
The curse included poverty, bad luck, and spiritual death. Well, true or false?
Amongst other things. True. Amongst other things. Have to mention sickness.
Sickness is the one. The big one I left out there was sickness. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bad luck thing,
isn't
it?
It's a trick.
It's a trick.
That's
right.
Yeah. We don't do luck.
We don't do luck. Like Madge says, we're Christians, we don't do luck, right? We get blessing, we don't get luck. Everyone is still under that curse even today. True or false?
False.
Who's not under the curse?
Saints.
Jackie's not under the curse. She's got her hand up. Karen's not under the curse either. Good. That's right. Right. I mean, Satan will put that curse on you. He'll keep harassing you, even though he has no right to do that if you don't stand up for your rights, though. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us, hath, past tense, redeemed us from something called the curse of the law, which means the curse that came on man for not keeping the law. So not everyone is still under... Huh? 3:13. So not everyone is still under that curse today. There are some still under it, aren't there? I mean, everybody but Christians, basically. So, good job. When Jesus came to the earth, he retained all his godly power. True or false? False. He gave that up, didn't he? He had to come here and legally defeat Satan. If he come here as God and did it, it wouldn't have been legal. Oops, there I go again, blowing the next question. No, he had to enter legally. Since God gave this world over to Adam, the only legal way for Jesus to come was to be born of a woman and temporarily give up his power as God. Is that true or false? That's true. Jesus was anointed with power by God and ministered as a prophet under the new covenant. True or false?
False.
Okay, why is that false?
False. It
was the new covenant.
Right, it's the old covenant. And he was anointed with power. Yes, the Holy Spirit is that power. That's true. But what I was trying to get at there was the fact that he ministered as a prophet under the old covenant. The new covenant didn't come into being until what? He died. And then what? And rose. Right.
And it come into line with positive thoughts and Jesus is just
thinks he's what? Just a prophet, yeah. He ministered that way, but that's not all he was it? Jesus was tempted just as we are, with all the same temptations, yet without sin. You know, that's true, you're right. And it really hit me when I read that. Every temptation that we've had, Jesus was tempted with. Think about some of the stuff that, we won't go into it, that we've all know in our hearts we've been tempted with. And Jesus was tempted too, and withstood it, thank God. Was it possible that Jesus could have sinned? That would be a yes or no. Is it true? Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It wouldn't have been a temptation if it was hardwired, as we talked about it last week. It wouldn't have been fair. Satan could have yelled foul. Both Jesus and the devil had spheres of authority on the earth. But since Jesus did not sin, the devil had no authority or power over Jesus. True or false?
True.
Satan tried to tempt Jesus to sin, like he did Adam, to steal Jesus' authority and rule over him too. True or false? That's why he was trying to tempt him, wasn't it? First he tried to kill him as a little child, and then he finally thought, well, that's not working too good. I'll try to tempt him to sin. That didn't work so good, so he went back to try to kill him, and he finally got that done and thought he had it made, but it backfired on him. If Jesus would have sinned, he would still have been able to die for our sins. True or false? False. Now, why would that be false?
You need to have a lamb without blemish.
Right.
It has to be a perfect sacrifice.
And that's true. And why? What would happen if he would have sinned? What could Satan have said when he was down there suffering in hell? He could have said, you've lost your authority, but you're suffering down here for your own sin. See? So, thank God he didn't sin, right? Jesus used his authority to bring life, while the devil used his to bring death. True or false?
True.
Then Jesus died and went to hell in our place. True or false?
True.
That's what he did for us. Thank God he did. Because of this, Satan has all authority in the earth to this day.
False.
He does not. We learned that last week. Jesus was dead, but he defeated Satan. And now he's alive and has the keys to death and hell. True. Where is that? Anybody know? Where do we find that out? Anybody remember? Revelations, that's right. 1:18. He says, I was dead, but now I'm alive, and alive forevermore. And now I have the keys of death and hell. Praise God. Since Jesus rose from the dead, all men now have salvation in his authority. True or false?
False.
What, why is it false? You have to accept Christ, right? And then you have his authority. Christians have been moved from Satan's authority into God's kingdom and given his authority. That is God's authority. True or false? That's true. Colossians 1:13 tells us that. But we still have the curse to deal with, which will be removed when we go to heaven. I'm just talking about Christians now. True or false?
That's false.
That's false. Why is it false?
Because it was a now thing.
Right. It's a now thing. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's a now thing. Immediately, that curse is removed from your life. Now, you've got to act on that promise. Or Satan will try to sneak in on you there. Jesus' authority is given to Christians, and with the Holy Spirit's indwelling power, gives them all they need to do God's will on the earth. True or false? That's kind of a long question, isn't it? That's true. Jesus' authority is given to Christians. That's true. You had to divide these up when I get a long one like this. We have the Holy Spirit's indwelling power. That's true. And that gives us all we need to do God's will on the earth. He wouldn't ask us to do anything we couldn't do. So, therefore, God's will on the earth will be done. True or false? Why is that false? We got the power to do it. Why won't it be done?
But we have to choose to do it.
But we have to choose to do it. That's right. Only if we do it. Maybe that's why the Lord's Prayer goes this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We got to pray that it will. God's saying, come on, guys, do it. That's right.
Hey, did you go for that?
Yeah. We're talking about God's will. It says, therefore, God's will on the earth will be done because of the question above. And the answer to that is false. Because just because we have all the authority and all the power doesn't mean we're going to act on that and do it. Just because we have it doesn't mean it's going to get done, right? We have to actually, as Karen said, do something. You know what I mean? I mean, if we can have all the power in the world, but all as Christians just sit around and don't do anything, what good is it? God's will never get done. He won't. See, we're His body on this earth. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Jesus is not going to knock on doors and hand out tracts. It's up to us, all right? So,
question two about that, but we still have the curse to deal with, which will be written when we go to heaven?
Yes. We said that was false.
Don't you think that we still have to deal with the curse in some manner? Not
no.
In our own lives personally?
Not if you're a Christian.
It's not on us, but as far as the world goes, we have to deal with those people that are under the curse.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Deal with it in that way. We can deliver them from the curse.
Right.
We have a...
As far as we go to heaven, that part is false, but as far as dealing with it.
It depends what you mean by deal with. I see what you mean.
Or Satan, even said Satan will come to us tempted to remind us of the curse.
Right, but we don't have the curse anymore.
Right.
We've been removed from that.
Right.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse. But we may have to deliver others still under the curse and tell them about Jesus. So in that sense, we do deal with it. Okay?
Yeah.
And in that sense, we'd have to deal with it too. I mean, you know, Satan will come like and sneak up on you and try to put sickness on you. And if you don't know, you're redeemed from the curse of sickness. Right.
We'd love to deal with it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Right. I got it. Yeah. Yeah. Deal with was probably not the best term to use there.